Nih, emang you have life insurance? Have you bought your life insurance? All right, that's good. I hope you would take more insurance from the Lord about your life rather than in your paid insurance. But have you heard about death insurance? Death insurance. Have you purchased your death insurance plan yet? Death insurance cannot insure you to die, right? Whether we like it or not, every living being will eventually face death one day, somehow. Accordingly, people who buy death insurance want to ensure that they will get a decent burial when they die. When they die, their family can have peace also, because they will not worry about expenditure for burial. And if they've got the death insurance plan, you know what? At deathbed, their family may mourn if they miss them, but if their family spends their hard-earned money for burial, they will be forced to mourn. Bakit kami iyak?
Kasi nakakautang na naman ako. Wala akong
pam-living. Yeah. Maganda pala yun, di ba? Seriously. Preparation for decent burial is noble, but to be decently accepted in the kingdom of heaven is priceless reality to be cherished eternally. Is it biblical to prepare for a burial place? What do you think? It says in Genesis chapter 25, verse 8 to 10, let's read this together. Abraham breathed his last and died at good old age, an old man and full of years. He was gathered to his people, his sons Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah near Mamre, in the field of Ephron, son of Zohar the Hittite, the field Abraham had bought from the Hittite, and there Abraham was buried with his wife Sarah. Now we have been learning that Abraham is the father of all who have faith in the Lord, and he bought a place for burial. And Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, they didn't purchase burial places for themselves, but Jacob asked Joseph to bury him in the burial place of Abraham and Isaac. Likewise, Joseph, when he was about to die, we will learn about this in chapter 50 of Genesis, that he instructed the Israelites to carry his bones and bury them in the land of his inheritance when they returned to Canaan. Joseph was looking forward to that day when the Israelites would be returning to Canaan. That was a prophecy. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, let's read this together. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instruction concerning the burial of his bones. Would you accept that it is an act of faith to prepare for burial, a decent burial? When Israel sensed that he was nearing death, when Jacob was about to die, he instructed Joseph, bury me in Canaan. And Joseph swear before his father. We observe that Israel or Jacob did not wish to be buried next to the tombs of the kings or the nobles of the Egyptians. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, they set examples for us believers to consider and prepare for their decent burial. Can you agree more? Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11 to 12, let's read this together. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Lord Jesus declared that we will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in heaven. It is nice. It's nice to have a decent burial, but to live with Christ in eternity is a necessity that we should not disregard. We should not take for granted. Joseph imitated the lifestyle of his father, Jacob, and he greatly benefited from trusting the Lord during the good, during the challenging times of his life. And Joseph assured his father, Father Jacob, that he will do as he instructed about that after Jacob made him took an oath. He told his son Joseph, but please bury me in Canaan and I will do. Joseph may have perceived that Jacob was about to die when he was informed that his father was sick. Let's read again verse 1 and 2. Sometime later, Joseph was told, your father is ill. So he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, along with him. When Jacob was told, so your son Joseph has come to you, Israel rallied his strength and sat up on the bed. When he was informed that his father was sick, Joseph immediately went to see his father. Jacob was lying down on the bed when he was sick. But when he was told, Joseph is here, father, Joseph is here, Joseph has arrived. And Israel did his best effort to sit up. Well, why? He just can wait there in his bed and just sit up and Joseph, are you here? Yeah, father. Okay, it's good to see you. He may not want to bother Joseph about his condition. He didn't want that he was really very, very sick. He just sit down. The only strength that was left in him. And Jacob, it shows here that he was very perceptively alert. So he knew what he was doing. The name Israel that the Lord gave to Jacob, we can observe here in the latter part of Genesis that they are interchangeably and more frequently used. And it serves as transition. This is a preparation to the Exodus events where the descendants of Jacob were called the Israelites and not the Jacobites. The recorded dramatic events before the death of Jacob, it presents narratives for believers. They offer essential ideas, essential concepts of the essence of death. Amazingly, Israel was 147 years old. That's old. But he's very mindfully sharp and alert. He was told, your son Joseph is here. Oh, really? And he just wanted to show that he was very alert. He sat up, gathered all his strength. Well, older people possibly suffer from dementia. Sinong may dementia sa inyong tatlo? Nanay, meron na kayong dementia? Oh, lapit na. Dementia is emotional, intellectual deterioration or loss of intellectual faculties such as memory, concentration, judgment, loss of personality integration. Kaya kung ayaw mo nang matuto, ayaw mo nang mag-aral. Ayaw mo nang, ayaw ka nang mag-aral, sa inyo na lang yan. Malapit ka nang magka-dementia. Ang pag-aaral, it helps us to keep our mind functioning. Alam niyo ba kung ilang taon na si Uncle Juan Ponce Enrile? Ay, Lolo pala si Lolo. 92, 93, or I don't know, but he still wanted to become a senator. I guess he ran in the last election, although he was lost, but I say that it helps the older people to keep going if they keep on using their mind. Reading is really good, and I appreciate and I praise God that our seniors here still attend Sunday school. Now, for you who don't attend Sunday school, I encourage you to attend Sunday school. If you are not reading books in your home, it might give you early dementia experience. Alam nyo ba si sino yung artista ng ano? Si Martin? Martin ba yun? Artista ng Class 2. Ay, yung anak ni Steve Martin? Okay, never mind. He is younger than me. Pero sabi, according to diagnosis, mayroon siyang partial dementia. Ganun. At 50. And this is a reality that we need to face. And it helps us also na to continue functioning in our mind and not get dementia at early age. Keep on studying, keep on learning anything that you may, let me help you to learn, especially if you study the Word of God. Should we pray that the Lord take care of us when we grow old? We should. And to be really very sincere that we want the Lord to take care of us, we see it how when we study His Word. We can imitate how King David has prayed for his old age in Psalm 71, verse 9. It says there, "Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone." When I read this, immediately I prayed, oh, nga, no. I never thought about that. Even now, keep praying that God, in your old age, God would give you that alertness and not suffer from dementia. You may have observed some people, when their parents have dementia, they don't pay much attention to them. And you would not like that. I've seen my father, I've seen my grandmother, how they were treated when they grow old. And I prayed, God, at 50, I'm okay. If you can take me, if you would take me, I would be okay. I don't like to grow old and have dementia. But I am 55, and that's bonus for me. King David exemplified a lifestyle pleasing to the Lord. Of course, he has also his own share of despicable and horrible wickedness. We know about that. But he admitted and repented of his sins and experienced the Lord's forgiveness, so that the Lord declares that King David would do whatever he would command him to do. Let's read this together, Acts chapter 13, verse 22. God testified concerning him, "I have found David, son of Jesse, man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." That's the Lord testifying for David. Wow. How I wish the Lord would tell something like that about me. It's so glorious to sense that the Lord approves what we are doing. Pray and desire that the Lord would praise you before others. The Lord promised King David to have a successor on the throne of Israel, and Solomon succeeded David as king of Israel. And when King David sensed that his death was coming near, he gave a godly paternal instruction to Solomon. It narrated in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 2 to 4. Let's read this together. I am about to go all the earth. He said, be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. Now, King David exemplified how we believers, we depart with dignity in this earth. Are you thinking, are you prepared of your speech when you grow old, when you know that you're going to die? Or are you saying, oh, kung ako'y mamatay, siguraduhin mo, ilagay mo ang aking kabaong, yung aking paboritong sapatos, paboritong necktie, paboritong tasa, ano pa. What do you think that the people would tell you when your older people would die? Have you heard anything like this before, like King David? To prepare for decent burial is sensible, but in the eyes of loved ones, our family, who will inherit our name, to leave this earth, to depart from this earth with dignity is very commendable. King David advised his son Solomon and told him that the Lord promised him that his descendants will be successors on the throne of Israel if they watch how they live and walk faithfully before God with all their hearts and soul. King David may have learned from Jacob at his deathbed. He advised his sons. We can read about that in the next chapters. Now, before Jacob advised his of his son, the first that he entertained was his grandchildren, the children of Joseph. Jacob informed Joseph that the Lord appeared to him and gave him a promise that it's the Lord's intention to make Jacob's descendants multiply numerously and become a nation, and that they would inherit, that they would take over Canaan, the promised land. Let's read again verse 3 and 4. Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and there he blessed me and said to me, I am going to make you fruitful and increase your number. I will make you a community of people, and I will give this land as an everlasting possession to your descendants after you. Jacob lived in Goshen, Egypt, together with his son and their families during the famine. But this promise of the Lord was given in the land of Canaan. So the Lord was talking about the Canaan, the promised land. Jacob, he stayed in bed when he was sick. But when he learned that Joseph has arrived to come to see him, he rallied his strength and sat up on his bed. And Jacob personally informed Joseph that the Lord's intention about this promise of the Lord, his intention to make his descendants, the descendants of Jacob, to be fruitful and increase in number. His other children or grandchildren might have been eavesdropping. Or may have been listening. If they are not around, maybe they are listening next in the next door, or anywhere. And they may have been envious. If they have heard this, they might have been envious that Jacob personally told Joseph about the Lord's promise. But they just kept quiet. They just didn't complain to Jacob, why you tell this to Joseph and what? Why not to us, to every one of us? Why only Joseph? They may have discerned that their father cannot trust them, may have thought that they won't believe him if he would tell them the promise. He just kept quiet because they know they were not very obedient. They were not very respectful to him. Would you, parents, give your last will and testament to your son or daughter who you cannot trust to administer your last will and testament? Who would administer? Your attorney? Why the attorney? Because you trust the attorney more than your children. Israel obeyed the Lord and he was blessed. His sons were also blessed. But Joseph experienced greater blessing than his brothers because he trusted God more than his brothers or other siblings. When the Lord is pleased, he certainly blesses those who trust in him, including their descendants who believe in the Lord. Remember Proverbs 15:8. Let's read this, and may you be able to memorize this. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. If we continue to disobey the Lord, you may sacrifice your time, you may sacrifice your talent, you may sacrifice your material belongings for the Lord. I will give this to the Lord. But it says, the Lord detests. He doesn't bother. He doesn't need our sacrifices, but he is pleased with our prayers when we show we are obedient to him. That is pleasant to the Lord. Why? Because he just can make more money than us if he wanted, if he needed. He just can make anything, everything if he needed. He doesn't need material things. The reason we give to the Lord our belongings, material things, is our way of thankfulness, our way of giving thanks and praise to him. But if we continue to disobey, then nothing that we can do would please him except our prayers if we are upright. When the Israelites came out of Egypt many years later, about 430 years later, Moses, who led the Israelites, sent 12 men to spy Canaan. And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, believed that they can conquer Canaan with God's help. But the other 10 spies said, no, we cannot get in there. We just return to Egypt. There are giants in Canaan. They saw the giants in Canaan and they were so scared. It says in Numbers chapter 14, verse 6 and 9, 6 to 9, let's read this together. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, But the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid. Many of us are scared of many giants, giants of life, huge problems of life. We are scared of the future because of the giant what ifs, those giants. The giant speculations overshadow our limits and abilities. We look at us and we, I'm short, I'm small, I'm not learned. And that future is so huge, so giant. And some individuals are even scared to drive, right? Why? Maybe because they are scared of possibility of reckless drivers on the road. No, I don't want to go. I don't want to drive. Why? There are a lot of not so good drivers on the road. And we are also scared to share the gospel. Yes, we are. Many of us. Why? We are anxious of rejection. What if they don't listen to me? What if they don't accept the gospel? What if they don't? What if? Those are giants that we are scared of. Listen, ask yourself, which is more essential, our feeling of rejection or to share the gospel? It says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 to 11, let's read this together. Cast all your anxieties because he cares for you. Be alert and sober of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. We are anxious of rejection. We are not exempted. It's not isolated for us. Everyone in the world experiences this and have more worse experience than us. Somebody said, we met somebody yesterday, and he said, you know what's happening in Chile and somewhere in this, they are so, in Hong Kong, there's this. Oh, I'm blessed that I live in Canada. And wow, and this person is not even, prophesying Christian, although she may go to church, but she saw the blessedness of being in Canada. Did you see that for yourself? Now, when we rely upon ourselves, when we rely upon our effort and our experience, our training, our education, fear of the unknown is normal experience. Hindi po mawawala yan. Not just for us believers, but also for potential believers. Joseph also was scared. He was scared of his life when his cruel brothers sold him as a slave. But he kept on trusting the Lord, and God blessed him more than his brothers. Jacob, Israel, had his share of fears in life when his sons told him to bring his son Benjamin to Egypt. He was so afraid, even because he was scared that his son might not return home alive. Joseph is gone, and now you would take again Benjamin. I'm afraid he will not come home alive. And despite of the scarcity of food in Canaan during the famine, she was very reluctant. He was very hesitant to relocate to Egypt. But when he was assured, when they told him, Joseph is the ruler of Egypt, really, and he brought us this. And that was when he eventually settle in Egypt and live in Egypt for the rest of his life. Doon na siya namatay sa Egypt. There was no recorded event. There was no situation, good or bad, about how Jacob lived his life in Egypt for the remaining of 17 years of his life. It was very fast. Last week we hear about that they settled in Egypt, and now it's his death. He's nearing his death. So 17 years has passed very fast. Why were there no events like, oh, Joseph have gone fishing at the Nile River, or Joseph has been there, birds, watching in Egypt, or Joseph went deer hunting, or of course deer. I was about to say elephant, but deer hunting. They're hunting elephant. What is that? Well, there's no recorded event. He must have enjoyed his life in Egypt because he did not even consider returning to Canaan. It was not mentioned that, okay, let's go to Canaan this year or next year. But when he was about to die, he made Joseph promise to bury him in Canaan. And Jacob declared that the sons of Joseph will have inheritance in Israel. Let's read verse 5 and 6. Now then, your two sons born to you in Egypt before I came to you here will be reckoned as mine. Any children born to you after them will be yours in the territory they inherit. They will be reckoned under the names of their brothers. Among the 12 sons of Israel, Joseph received the right of the firstborn. Reuben was the firstborn son, but he defiled the bed of his father, and the right of the firstborn was given to Joseph. The right of the firstborn is double portion of inheritance, kind like kung mayroon kang, if you have 5 children, and the firstborn, you will divide the inheritance into 6 part, and 2 parts would be given to your firstborn son, something like that. So if you have 2 children, you divide your property into 3 parts, and 2 of that part would be given to the firstborn son, something like that. That is the right of the firstborn. The nation of Israel was divided into 12 tribes, and 2 portions were inherited by the sons of Joseph, just as Jacob has declared. In verse 7, let's read this. As I was returning from Paddan, to my sorrow, Rachel died in the land of Canaan while we were still on the way, a little distance from Ephrath. So I buried her there beside the road to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Now, I was reading this and I was wondering, why did Jacob mention the death of Israel, of Rachel, and where he buried her? Jacob did not wish to be buried next to Rachel, and his son Joseph might have been thinking about that. So Jacob wanted to be buried in the burial place of Abraham and Isaac. Did Jacob tell Joseph about Rachel's burial place so that the tribe of Benjamin, the younger brother of Joseph, would inherit the place? And they got it eventually. Rachel was the mother of Joseph and Benjamin. When Jacob was relocating his family from Bethel to Bethlehem, Rachel died along the way, right after she gave birth to Benjamin. And the tribe of Benjamin is very proud tribe, because only among the children of Jacob, only Benjamin was born in the promised land. The burial place of Rachel was not in Bethlehem. It's between Bethel to Bethlehem, so along the way in between. According to scholars, it was located within the territory of Benjamin, that is few kilometers north of Judah, north of Jerusalem. It is within the boundary of the territory of Benjamin. Now, Israel, the Israelites, left Egypt after 430 years. The Lord made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years, so that is 470 years. And before they entered Canaan, the first generation died in the wilderness, and the second generation was led by Joshua, and they conquered and occupied Canaan eventually. And accordingly, it took them maybe 10 years before they were able to settle permanently in Canaan or establish their cities. So that is 480 years before they eventually occupied Canaan totally. The tribal inheritance was assigned accordingly, tribe by tribes, and two Israel tribes were named after Ephraim and Manasseh, Joseph's sons. Jacob prophesied about the inheritance of his children. When he was about to die, he told them, "Your two sons belongs to mine." And Joseph and his brothers listened very carefully. Jacob told Joseph that the Lord promised him to be fruitful. Indeed, they became fruitful. 430 years later, when they went out of Egypt, according to estimates, the Israelites went out. There were only listed 600,000 men who went out of Egypt. So, not counting the women, their wives, if 600,000 men, if each of them have wife, then that is 1,200,000. If they have at least one child, then that is 1,800,000. But you know that the Israelites in those times don't have only one child. They may have more than 3, 2, or even 10. So more or less 2 million Israelites went out of Egypt at that time. And indeed, they multiplied from 12 sons, 13 including Dinah, his daughter, multiplied to 2 million. The Lord, Jacob told Joseph that the Lord promised him to be fruitful and give Canaan as everlasting possession for his descendants. And the Lord's promise came into reality after 480 years. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understood slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Now, when the Lord gives promise, sometimes we want it immediately. Have you ever received a promise from the Lord? What is it that the Lord promised to you? Has the Lord promised something specifically for you only, personally? We can hold on to the Lord's promise that he would return and take us into heaven. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 to 15, let's read this together. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. Elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire. The elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord, patience means salvation. Can you go back one slide? It says in verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live a holy and godly life as you look forward to that day of God. And it follows, in speed it's coming. What does that mean? I can interpret it, personally interpret. Our scholar would say, I would say Jesus it like, we can speed the Lord's coming when there will be more of us, more believers, looking forward to that day of his coming. My personal prayer, if I have one, I ask the Lord, the one thing that I would like the Lord to answer my prayer is that I pray that the Lord will return in our lifetime. It is once in a generation, once in the history of mankind, to experience the experience of Elijah and Enoch, to be transformed from this alive, physical life into glorious body. Will this happen second time? Maybe at the judgment day, but we don't want that at the judgment day. We want it that while we are alive, we are transformed into our glorious body. I would like to see that. I would like to experience that. How about you? You would rather want to die old? I would like to see the Lord's coming and the clouds. In a blink of an eye, you will be transformed. Think about that. Pray about that. It is a possibility. Well, we cannot dictate God's time, but it says, you ought to live a godly life, holy and godly lives, as you look forward to that day and speeds its coming. It speeds its coming. Perhaps God is planning to send back the Lord Jesus in 2050 or whatever, later years or something. But if he would return in our lifetime, that will be something. I am very blessed with that. Someone said that death is not the end of life. It is essential part of life. Death is essential transition of life. Life on earth to the next life in eternity. In between, we transition. It's kind of like, if you would, it's like the door coming from the cold outside, coming into the warm sanctuary, something like that. It's like the door to eternity, death. We don't know how much time God assigned for us, how long we would live on earth. Do you know how long you would live on earth? But it says in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, from one man he made all nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. Think about that. God has given you a boundary. Boundary of your own property and boundary of your time. He designed, he knew when each one of us would leave this earth. We may die or we may be transformed into eternal glorious body. Do you believe that the Lord designed where and how we live? Where you live and how we live? Did God design that you would live all your life, reside in Winnipeg or somewhere else? Pray that the Lord will come in our lifetime, and pray that He would enable us to continue to live righteously. Now, remember the parable of the Lord when He compared the kingdom of heaven to a parable of 10 virgins? 10 virgins waiting for the bridegrooms, where there were 5 foolish and there were 5 who were wise. The foolish one had their lamps because, well, they don't have any flashlight before. Perhaps if you could use flashlight. They took their lamp, and at night the lamp keeps on burning. But they did not take extra oil. There's no extra oil. Of course, if you've been in the Philippines before, and you know kerosene, use that lamp with kerosene, you understand this more. Or if you have been using a candlesticks before, you understand this. And the wise ones, the Bible says that they took oil in jars, meaning they are expecting extended time. So they took oil in their jars with their lamps. There's the wise virgins. And all of them, the 5 foolish and the 5 wise, waited for the bridegroom. And then they fell asleep. But at midnight, somebody shouted, "The bridegroom is here, the bridegroom has arrived." And when the foolish ones saw their lamp, there's no more oil. It's only a week. Ano ba yung tawag doon? Umuusok na, wala na nga po eh. But the 10 virgins, well, they put oil in their lamps. So what did the 10 virgins do? They cannot enter without the lamp. They needed the lamp, lighting. So they went out and buy oil for them, for themselves. And the wise virgin entered the wedding banquet with the bridegroom, and the door was shut. Door was shut. Then the foolish virgins arrive, they knock at the door. "Let us come in, Lord, 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 come in, help us come in." But somebody inside, "We don't know you, get away, go away. We don't know you, go away." That is when the Lord shut the door of heaven. The Lord Jesus warned in Matthew 25, verse 13. Let's read this together. "Therefore, keep watch, because you don't not know the day or hour." See, I have watch. I keep my watch. I'm just kidding. Pay attention. Pay attention. Be watchful. You don't know when the hour of the Lord's coming. It may come anytime soon. How can we be sure that we will join the wedding banquet of the Lamb of God? Make sure that the Spirit of Christ bear fruit of faithfulness in your life. Faithfulness. Faithfulness means consistency. You cannot be faithful if you, like for example, for you who went to basketball yesterday, did you win? Nalo ba kayo? Tumawa sila. At least, ang pagiging faithful, you're faithful. Matalo, manalo, basta andun ka lagi, basta andun ako. Faithful. Di ako pumunta. Unfaithful ako dyan. That is, pagiging consistent is, that is pagiging faithful. That is what it means, right? Consistent of trust in Christ. We trust God when we are down. We trust God when we are blessed. Ang ganun. Matalo kayo sa basketball? Okay lang. Manalo? Hindi naman kami nanalo. Ayaw ko na. No, it's not about the winning and the losing. It's about pagiging consistent. That is kind of life. how you may continue in your trust in the Lord when you feel like your dreams are not coming. Keep on trusting the Lord, because one day you will see the blessedness of trusting in the Lord, kind of like the same of what happened to Joseph. Joseph trusted the Lord when he was chosen as favorite son of his father with the most beautiful robe available in Canaan. But he trusted him more when he was sold as slave, accused of falsely imprisoned. He kept on trusting the Lord. Have you experienced that lowliness in life more than being sold as slave or being imprisoned, being accused falsely and imprisoned? If you experience more than that, worse than that, well, keep on trusting the Lord. Faithfulness is consistency of trust in Christ, not just here on earth, but this trust in the Lord continues until eternity. We can only have faithfulness in Christ if Christ's Spirit prevails in us as Lord of our life and produce faithfulness in our life. Faithfulness does not come from us. Consistency cannot come from human, because faithfulness comes from the Lord, the effect of faith. We may not test death if Christ comes in our lifetime, but most importantly, we've got to make sure that the Spirit of Christ is reigning in our life. How do we know that? Keep on asking the Lord that the fruit of the Spirit, that the Spirit of Christ produce fruit in your life. And when we experience that, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, you know that the Spirit of Christ is prevailing in your life. Shall we stand up and bow down our heads? Check our lifestyle. Check our life. See if the Spirit of Christ controls us, controls our hearts, our minds, our strength, our soul, everything in us. If He is the Lord of our life, ask the Lord to increase your faith. Lord, increase my faith to trust you now until eternity. Ask the Lord to give you thankfulness and obedience in your heart, overflow your thankfulness in your heart, that every day you sense that thankfulness and giving thanks to God all the days of your life until eternity.